Mother's Day is Sunday, and sometimes it can be hard to find the right words to show mom how much you appreciate her. One group of Austin writers and storytellers might be able to help. They're taking to the stage tonight to share their tales of motherhood and mothers as part of Listen to Your Mother, Austin. Wendy Ahrens wrote her story, Labor Pains, about motherhood.
The first time I became pregnant, it was after 8 long months of trying. I couldn't have been more thrilled the day I took the pregnancy test and found out that I finally had a baby inside me. And I remained thrilled until one day, a few months later, when I realized that the baby I had inside me would eventually have to come out, one way or another. Or at least that's what everyone was telling me. You see, when you're newly pregnant, all anyone talks about is the adorable baby stuff. The baby toes, the baby smell, that sweet little baby mouth. But then, right around the 6-month mark, you suddenly find yourself sitting around a campfire while everyone you've ever met holds flashlights under their chins and tells you the most terrifying stories about childbirth you've ever heard. "When I had my daughter, I was in labor for 5 solid weeks," said my neighbor. "My water broke at the grocery store, and within minutes, I was given birth in the produce section," said my hairdresser. "My nephew's wife pushed her baby boy out so hard that one of her eyeballs popped out too," said my garbage man. "Good thing the doctor caught it." And I can't even repeat the birth story that a clerk at Babies R Us told me because it was so horrifying, I immediately waddled over to the crib department, climbed inside one, and curled into the fetal position so I could suck on my thumb until I calmed down. Why do people think that it's okay to scare the hell out of a pregnant woman? It's not like we have a lot of bladder control to begin with.
That was Wendy Ahrens with part of her story, Labor Pains.
We are family. I'm Liz McGuire. My story is Sibling Revelry. I never wanted a child. I always wanted children. Siblings, confidants, compadres, chums, tattlers, teachers, accomplices, antagonists, rivals, secret keepers, scapegoats and partners in crime, mentors and tormentors. I wanted a firstborn, a middle, a baby. I wanted to marvel at both the reliable and the shattered stereotypes. I wanted shifting alliances and third wheels, teamwork and the circling of wagons. For better or worse, I wanted individual players in the ultimate team sport, sharing the same space, fighting for the same oxygen. Believe it or not, I wanted splash fights, inane arguments, thrown elbows in the hallway, imaginary lines declaring, "Do not cross or else." Because I knew, if thoughtfully tended, these battles could give birth to the flip side. The impromptu hugs, the late night whispers, the collaborations and negotiations, the "I'm sorry, that's okay. Sure, you can come inside my hideout." It was a big dream, and one I barely realized I had until motherhood was upon me. If motherhood teaches us anything, it's that dreams are sometimes risky devils that taunt and tease. That dreams are something that require constant adjustments and reconsiderations. They are expensive, little black dresses, too good to discard, but requiring frequent tailoring to keep up with changing styles and practical needs.
Liz McGuire wrote Sibling Revelry.
My name is Max Langert, and the name of my piece is Second Place Muffins. When I was 7 or 8, my mother Nancy entered a baking contest, one of those old-fashioned ones run by a local grocery store where you make something at home, bring it in, and then half a dozen judges decide which entry is best. And the winner gets something like a $25 credit to the store. Now, my mother's a really good cook, but she always needs a kind of double validation to feel okay about herself. "Do you really like the pork chops? You're just saying that. So you really like them then?" She decided to enter these lemon currant muffins she'd been making for years. They were light and airy while still retaining just enough moistness to feel satisfying. And yes, Mom, I really do like them. I didn't get to see any of the contests firsthand because I was at home with my sister. But when my mother came back, she told us she'd made it to the semifinals and then to the finals, and that she was supposed to bring a brand new batch of the muffins to the judges that afternoon so they could choose a winner. My mother came in second place. They didn't give her a plaque or a trophy, I think she got a $10 store credit. But of course, that wasn't enough validation for her. She wanted something physical she could point to as proof that she was among the local baking elite. The organizers of the contest had written the names of the winners on a small piece of construction paper and taped it to the window of the store. First place, Marge Turner. Second place, Nancy Langert. Third place, it's not important. My mother asked if she could have this piece of paper and ended up taping it high above the tallest cabinet we had in the kitchen, where it couldn't be touched or messed with by anyone. And it wasn't. It's still hanging there, 30-some-odd years later, covered in a thick layer of grease and dust, faded and bleached by the sun.
That was Max Langert reading from his story, Second Place Muffins. Although tonight's performance of Listen to Your Mother is sold out, you can find more information at KUTNews.org.